welcome to Mystery Beers episode number 237 of
Brutal Battle.
Yep, so it's Tony again, like we teased on the last week.
Hey, everybody.
We're going to find out about Tony, about his craft beer beginnings, and about, does he even drink craft beer much anymore?
No, he doesn't.
That spoiled it. There you go. They were going to be in suspense until then. Okay, so, quick reminder, because of when this will be coming out, Tony's film Loose Ends, showing at BC Brewery, Sunday, February 23rd, 1 to 4. You can drink, you can eat, and you'll get a four-pack of a chocolate cream pie stout. Okay, there it is. Sounds good. Sign up, BC Brewery's website. Now, Tony, how did you get into craft beer? Take us back.
I was working in a giant pet store in the marketing department. They had a large mail order presence online. Mail order pet supplies and aquarium supplies called That Fish Place, That Pet Place. It's still thriving in my hometown of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And I was their copywriter.
Okay.
And I played around with some video work for them. I made one video for them. I wrote and recorded and directed their phone and in-store messaging stuff. Did a little bit of that while I was still making BMX videos on the side. And we hired a web designer, and his name was Brad. And Brad and I worked really well together. He did After Effects, and I never touched After Effects before. So we decided to make a commercial for That Fish Place. I wrote it. I was going to direct it. The last minute, the actor pulled out. So the guy we hired to make the thing was also a director, and I ended up starring in the stupid commercial too.
Unintended, but
it was actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
And Brad says to me one day, they're looking for a copywriter where my wife works. I said, oh, where is she? And he said, a place called Duclaw Brewing Company in Bel Air, Maryland. So I got an interview, and I took a BMX video along to the copywriting interview. And I showed them the BMX video, and they had a video program where they had been tearing apart DVDs of famous movies, recombining the scenes, adding funny text, and making them about the beer. And they would play them. They'd have a video every month for their monthly release parties, which used to be Wednesday, Thursdays?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I remember going to those like all the time because, you know, as I've talked about at length on the podcast, you know, Duclaw, the Bel Air location, Duclaw, which is the original, was how I got into craft beer. And then when they started doing these special releases, I made sure I was going, which the water we have in front of us are from the free glassware they would give out for those events. And it was actually, you know, taking it back, they would email you the code if you were on their
on the mailing
email
list
with the barcode, and you'd have to print it out,
yep,
bring it with you, and they'd, you know, scan it and be like, here's your free t-shirt or your free pint glass.
Yep.
So yeah, so you eventually were then making the videos for those releases.
Part of why I got hired was the owner wanted to stop doing that because he knew he was going to get in trouble at some point.
And get original.
And get original content going. And for the first almost year, basically what that was would be at beer release parties, the owner and I would think of new videos while we were drinking. And it would be a, ha-ha, wouldn't this be great? And it never got made. So I suggested one for the beer serum, played off a very, very old joke. Two guys are in the woods, and one runs up to the other guy and said, a snake just bit me in my junk. So the first guy dials 911 and says, yeah, my buddy just got bit by a snake. What do I do? And the operator says, well, you got to suck the venom out. And he goes, okay, thanks. And he hangs up, and the guy says, what did they say? And they said, you're going to die, is the old joke. So I pitched that with two of the brewers as the people in the video. And it was, ha, 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 drunken, ha, ha, as usual. Then Monday, the owner walks into my office and says, so you're going to get started on that video we talked about? It was like, oh, we don't really do that. We just bullshit about it for a while.
We made it,
and I'd been away from video for about 5-6 years at that point, and that got me sparked, and I was fully back into it, and I was so happy he pushed me to that. So happy. And that video program really transformed. We made some wacky stuff. We made some long form stuff, mm-hmm. made some doc style stuff. It was like, I owe Duclos a lot in that Dave and Elizabeth basically let me continue film school. Just try stuff until I figured out how it all worked.
It was learning on the job type deal.
It was learning on the job. And I remember the first time I brought him something where he said, I don't think we can do it and make it look real. Because by that point, I'd gotten heavily into After Effects. So I took three staffers out in the parking lot. We ran over one with a car. And I juiced it up in After Effects. And I took it to him and showed him. And he goes, wait, we just talked about this. When did you do this? And I'm like, right after we talked about it. He's like, you did that in like half an hour. I'm like, yeah. He goes, yeah, make that the next video. So he was very, nice. From that point on, I would bring him the wackiest ideas, and he would just say, so you think you can? And I'd be like, yeah.
Nice.
So not only film, though, but I also got a crash course in craft beer. And one of the highest compliments I ever got was someone was saying things that weren't true at a big beer gathering, and I corrected them, and the guy kind of gave me stink eye and walked away. And the brewmaster at the time... was Jim Wagner, and he leaned over and he goes, dude, you're good. You've forgotten more about beer than that guy's ever known. He goes, because you write about it daily. So there was a time where I had a ton of beer knowledge rattled around in my head, too.
Well, and that was back before we got overrun with craft breweries. That was back when, you know, there really weren't that many craft breweries
there were
in
not
Maryland. It was in Maryland specifically, it was Heavy Seas. At that point, I think it was Clipper City.
Clipper
is
City.
What they were called. And then there was like Oliver and Franklin's. And that and that was about it.
Yeah. And, there were some other ones, but those were the known. Yeah, those were the players.
Those were the big ones. And beer wasn't as good back then, to be honest. Like Duclos was. For what the market was, Duclos was the apex of craft beer in Maryland at that point. And like Franklin's, Oliver, you know, Clipper City, none of them came close at that point. And so it was just such a, I guess for lack of a better term, such a naked market. It was such a naked industry in Maryland that you were just like, what even is this? So like that was your phase of stepping into... something that, like, it sounded like you didn't even really know what you were stepping into at first. And then getting that crash course of, like, so what is this all about?
Yeah, and it was... The good thing was both the owner and the brewmaster liked to talk about beer. So getting that Perfect. Education was not a problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like anything else. Once you're in it, if you're ensconced in it, like, constantly, you pick up things really, really quickly to the point where... I think my last 2 years, 3 years at Duclos, I was writing copy before beers were finished.
Wow.
Because I knew enough about the styles and I knew enough about the additional things they were doing and through test batching that I knew where that beer was going to end up.
Yeah.
And I was almost never wrong about it. Like we'd have something that would go hard left when I thought it was going to go right, but that was very few and far between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like you were talking about last episode, like the misery. Where you're like, oh, it's supposed to be at 11.5%. Oh, it's 14. Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. So during that time, you gain all this craft beer knowledge. You're working on the film stuff. And then you stepped away. Well, I mean, you were let go because of no need for
I came back from Memorial Day and several people were already gone.
Okay.
There was a little shrinkage.
Yeah.
In the industry. And I had always said it was my motto there. Look, I know I'm a luxury, not a necessity in this particular business. Yeah. Like if times are getting lean and you need to keep someone, are you keeping the guy who makes the beer or are you keeping the guy who writes and makes videos about the beer? Yeah. Well, it's obvious to me. And that's kind of why knowing that could always be an option. None of the video equipment at Duclos belonged to Duclos.
Yes.
I bought everything
smart
as a way to protect myself so I could go freelance right away if the worst happened. And it happened and it sucked. I was the voice of that company for more than 10 years and it bummed me out. But, you know, when something like that happens, you need to do what's best for the most people involved. And I'm not naive and I'm not bitter. You know, they treated me very well. They let me write my own recommendation letters when I left.
Oh, really?
And just signed them. Like,
that's funny.
Like, David Elizabeth, the president, vice president, were like, you write them, we'll sign them, say whatever cool. you want. And they were very, very cool.
So from what I know of when you ended up not working there anymore, you had said that it was a good ending. That basically it wasn't one of these things where people are mad and people are like, you know, finger pointing and stuff like that.
No, not at all.
It was like,
and
this is a business decision and I get it.
Yeah, and to tell you, like, you understand why companies, when they get rid of people, they follow them around while they pack their stuff up.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I've been in those situations before at jobs.
Yeah, and I'm getting my exit interview there, and I look at Elizabeth, because I know she's going to be the one to have to do that, and I said, you know, it's going to take me like another 2 hours, because I got video equipment to fit in the car, and some personal stuff, and the computer's actually mine. And she goes, just bring your key when you're done. Yeah. Like, there was literally no hard feelings. Yeah. I mean, there was hard feeling in that, I can't believe I didn't make the cut, but... You know, that is what it is. And he had a business to save, and I would have done the same thing in his position. So.
Well, and I feel like that's something that comes down to something that a lot of people have a hard time with in their lives in general, that I try to stay on top of doing, which is having that separation in your mind of this is business, this is friendship. And, like, obviously you mix those things, but at the same time, when someone's making a business choice or a business cut or whatever they need to do, being able to put yourself in that mindset and be like, that's what this is. This isn't a personal thing. It's not, hey, we hate this individual, so let's get rid of them. It's a, I kind of have to do this because it's a business related thing. And I have this at my job all the time where I'll tell people, like, as an example, I'll talk to my wife and be like, you know, I have this coworker and as a person, I really like this person. As an employee, I think they're terrible at their job. So you have to be able to mitigate that in your mind and be like, I think they're a crap employee, but they're a really cool person. I really like them. But in your case, it was more positive than that.
Yeah, I mean, I actually have been back to visit. And that was a good visit. I intended to go down there for 45 minutes. I was there for 3 hours. And nice. I got all kinds of hugs and everything. And I mean, again, I think part of the reason that happened was because I didn't throw a fit when I left.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you
didn't burn bridges.
Yeah.
Like
you can tell things got tight there for them for a little bit and I hear
mm-hmm.
they're doing well again, which is
good.
Great.
That's
awesome. Yeah. It's tough, dude. Running a business is tough.
Yeah. Especially in the craft beer industry, especially now in the craft beer industry, because it's not just that it's overflowing right now. It's that even when it's overflowing, they're still adding water. Like, you're throwing even more breweries on top of a oversaturated market.
Yep.
It's like, what?
Yeah, it's at that point, I think it was an average of 2.5 breweries per week were opening in the United States. And that is unsustainable.
Yeah.
And then you add in the fact that Duclaw wasn't built to be your local brewery, tiny brewery with the room, its business model was distribution.
Yeah.
And now it's like Lord of the Flies trying to get shelf space anywhere. So
yeah.
It's tough. And, and you know, that's why I didn't take it personal because I was privy to a lot of that being in the position I was in. I knew what they were up against and I knew it was kind of a matter of time. Someone told me, and I don't know if I should believe them or not, it wasn't anyone officially connected to Duclaw. It was, again, someone who knows somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That because I was well-liked, I survived 3 times when I probably should have gone because of how things were headed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they were shedding people, and they're like, not yet, not yet, not yet. We're there. There's no other choices. Gotta go. And like I said, is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't make the beer. I write about it and make little silly movies about it. The choice is obvious.
Yeah. So do you now look back at that part of your life and be like, those were the best craft beer days? I assume that's when you were drinking the most craft beer.
Well, yeah.
Because it was pretty available.
And the owner of Duclaw called us out on this and he was 100% right. Dave was 100% right. At one point he was like, you guys are spoiled because this stuff is free. And it's
yeah.
like, He's not wrong, because if you go to my fridge, there's very little other craft beer in there. It's almost all Duclaw in there. If I see something really interesting, I'd grab it and take it home. But yeah, a lot of it was, so where are the low fills? We're done bottling for the day. Where are the low fills? Where's something that a barcode got messed up? That's going in my trunk.
So honestly, at that point, were you really even drinking craft beer from other breweries? Or was it just pretty much only Duclaw?
Well, one thing I will say that was very fun is competition tastings, where we'd be contemplating a style.
Oh,
and they'd go round up a bunch of examples to see what we liked and didn't like. So if we were going to attempt this style, what felt good to us? Because, and this is something I've been dying to say, but I've never been a guest on a beer podcast before. So now I finally get to say this.
Go crazy.
I can't believe it. A lot of people have a lot of misconceptions about how stuff gets done.
Yeah.
And especially at Duclaw. And I remember one night I was at an event and two people were talking about Sweet Baby Jesus.
Mm.
And they were telling this story about, one, how it got its name, and two, about the hashtag Get a Sweet BJ. And they're sitting there talking about this theory, and I'm sitting there listening to them, and they're saying, this is how it happened. And I'm like, I was in the room for both of those events, and you are all wrong. Like, you're not even close. And then I went home and made a big mistake. I went on a beer message board.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I'm reading all these things that they're saying, and I'm like, you guys aren't even close. This is not how it happened. I was there, or I was told about it later that day by the people who were there. You're wrong. This isn't what's going on. And it's just weird, the outside perception. I mean, yeah, it's a company, but there's still people at the end of the day. There's still humans.
But at the same time, those kind of tall tales about how that all came to be, isn't that kind of what keeps people talking about it? And it's kind of free marketing, I feel.
It is. It is. But the only reason I was tempted to correct is because the story...
You had the knowledge.
Yeah, and the story was kind of making someone look bad that not a villain in the story.
Right.
They were actually, it was their idea, and they weren't getting credit for it. And they were like, well, this person fought that hashtag. And I'm sitting there like, no, they didn't. That person was jumping up and down over that hashtag. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, I honestly find that there are a lot of people who get into craft beer who they want to be a part of the group. Like, they want to, when people are talking about craft beer, they want to have all that knowledge. They want to know what they're talking about. And so if they don't, they want to act like they do. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people, and here's a prime example. I talked to someone I work with some years ago who I was talking about craft beer because they found out I did the podcast, and they're like, oh, I love hoppy beers. And I was like, oh, really? Like, what hoppy beers do you like? And they're like, I don't know, Sam Adams Cherry Wheat. I was like, okay. And then that's the fight in your brain immediately of, do I correct this person, or to stay cordial, do I just be like, whatever? And my responses change based off the situation or based off how I'm feeling at the time. But a lot of the times I'll try and delicately approach it and be like, oh, that's a really good beer. Just so you know, though, like, that's not a hoppy beer. What's hoppy is more like this, and like, give them some examples. But, you know, people will always feel bad about that because they then feel like, oh, I looked dumb. But it's okay. Like, you shouldn't feel like you look dumb. It's okay to admit that you don't know things. You can learn. It's all fine.
Duclaw was constantly evolving while I was there, and so were the responsibilities. And at one point, he had brought in an outside marketing company and to take certain stuff, like press releases and stuff that I didn't traditionally do, and some other event-related things that our events people didn't traditionally do. Well, they were bringing all her press all the writers' press releases to me and saying, look these over, make sure you're fine with it. I said, okay. Well, do you remember Blackjack?
Yeah.
The Imperial Stout?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Good one.
Well, press release about that, the opening line was, hopheads rejoice.
Oh, no.
And I almost slammed my head on my desk. I was like, you took a phrase you heard that you knew was about beer, and you applied it with no knowledge that this beer is not remotely a hoppy beer. And so I had to rewrite the entire portion about the beer. I left the rest of it alone, but I rewrote the entire portion about the beer. And I'm like, you can't say stuff like that.
So
you don't know what it means.
You were experiencing Twitter before Twitter then.
Yeah.
Because that's basically what it is. That's what it is. Okay, so to kind of wrap, this has been great, by the way, to get all this info, but to kind of wrap it up so we can jump to the mystery beers, I want to know what were some of your favorite Duclaw beers?
Oh.
From memory, when okay. you were there. Actually, do this. Some of your favorites from back then and some of your favorites now, if you still partake.
I have not had a new Duclaw beer in a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason for that is...
You're not really drinking craft beer.
I'm not really drinking craft beer a ton. I'm still weeding through stuff where I helped with a couple episodes of a beer show, someone else's beer show. Yep. And so I'm still weeding through that. I'm actually a cocktail guy now.
Okay.
I am all about cocktails. One specifically that I spend way too much time with. So
what's that cocktail?
That would be Captain and Coke.
Okay.
I love me a Captain and Coke with a real lime in it. And, that's my choice of relaxation right now.
Cool.
Now, when I go to parties, I still do if they have beer. I'm cool and I love to taste new beers. I love doing this. This has been super fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, and we still actually have, it's funny you bring up my favorite Duclaw beers because I still have some things in the closet at home.
Yeah.
And obviously if I've had them this long, you know, they're pretty big so that they're lasting.
Well, if you don't want them, you know, I will take them off your hands.
I
no
almost
problem.
Brought a vintage retribution.
I have some vintage retributions
just
thankfully.
For fun. Yeah, I have a lot of retribution from different years, different flavors, and the originals. My wife and I are both huge Devil's Milk
love
fans.
It. Yep. Big
love
fan.
Devil's Milk.
Yep.
For the smaller Duclaw beers, Mysterium, the original Mysterium when it was unfiltered, is one of my favorite relaxation beers of all time, like bar none. I went through when I first got to Duclaw, I was very into hops, and then my tastes really kind of changed and then stayed where they were, which is if it's got hops in it, it better be huge, or it better be like middle of the road mellow, and it better have something interesting about it because I am a dark beer fanatic.
Yeah.
I love big stouts. I love porters. Nice. There was a, I always forget who the brewery is, but they're from Michigan. They did a vanilla Java porter.
Atwater.
Yeah. That's it. It's one of my favorite beers of all time.
Cool people, by the way. I met those folks, and one of their representatives I met was from Grosse Pointe, Michigan, which is where I lived for a while when I was young.
Okay.
So when I met them, I got to you know, catch up about that area, and they're like, "You should come up. We actually have a brewery in Grosse Pointe now. You should."
Nice.
I was like, "Wow, okay." Anyway, not to derail it, but
yeah, the vanilla Java porter was great, and there was even a beer we made at Duclaw that didn't have a big splash when it first came out. Called Pax Nemesis.
Yeah, that was a sweet beer. That was an alt beer, right? Like an Imperial alt?
Yeah, an Imperial
alt. That was good.
If you let that age, which I still have a couple that have aged, it mellows out enough.
I bet.
That the alcohol stringency that a lot of people complained about is gone, and it is a damn tasty beer now.
Yep. Well, and I'll tell you, you're talking about having a bunch of the old retributions. We've talked at length on the podcast, Rebecca and I, about how much we love those old retributions. The stability of those beers is insane. Like, we're still drinking, like, 5-year-old retributions, 4 or 5-year-old retributions that still taste phenomenal. It's like they change a little bit, but it's like there's no flavor drop-off. It's nuts. And, yeah, it's so great.
Wagner's very, very good.
Oh, big beers? We were talking about it before the podcast. When it comes to big beers, Jim Wagner is one of my favorites, brewer-wise, because, like you were talking to, Devil's Milk, the Retributions, I mean...
Misery.
Insane. Yeah, Misery was good as well.
Misery was scary because it was a wheat wine.
Yeah.
And it was incredibly easy to drink. I went to a beer festival in the summer. We had 4 beers. The only 2 I remember for sure were we had Sweet Baby Jesus and we had Misery. We had 2 others. And, the salesperson that was with me at the time, who hasn't been at Duclaw in a long time, so no worries there. But this dude was saying, Misery's not going to move unless you tell people it's a double IPA.
Why would you do that?
So I listened to him at first, and no one was taking it, and I was drinking it. Because regardless of it being like 109 degrees that day,
it's tasty.
Misery's good.
Whatever.
So I was drinking it, and then finally I decided to put my cup on top of cold box cover. And so when people would come up, they'd say, "What's that?" And I'd say, "It's what I'm drinking." So what is it? I'm like, "It's a wheat wine. It's like a barley wine, but with more wheat in the mix."
Yeah.
"It's light, fluffy, but it's got a punch." And so I didn't empty the keg, but it went from nobody taking it to there was like a quarter of the barrel left. And the only thing we killed that day was Sweet Baby. Yeah, and that was at the height of Sweet Baby's popularity, so we knew that was going to be toast.
That's the kind of approach of, you want in on this?
Yep. Like, and that's why I did it. That's why I did it, because I'm like, they know I'm with the company. If they see me drinking it, it's going to get credibility just because they're like, he's around this crap all day, and this is what he chooses to drink.
You know, and that was the very first wheat wine I ever had. I didn't know what the hell a wheat wine was until that beer, to be honest. And then, to be honest, I don't really like wheat wines all that much, but that one still, like, I would still drink that because it was good. And yeah, wheat wines are finicky. It's hard to get those right, but like we said, Jim Wagner killed it on the big beers. I love you, Jim. I love you so much. I want to open mouth kiss all your beers. All your beers. You like how you thought it was going one way? Yeah, beers. Yeah, so awesome talk. Thank you so much, Tony.
Sure,
love
thank
it.
You.
Let's give your second shot at blind beer tasting.
Let's do it.
Still sinuses a problem.
You're speaking my language with these particular.
Oh yeah, they're dark.
They're
dark. Saying you're into the dark stuff. So the beer A, there's no head.
Nope.
So I'm assuming maybe higher ABV or just very low carbonation.
And completely opaque.
Yeah. It's dark. It looks dark. There's no head to it. All right. Okay, never mind. It smells sour. It smells sour.
It's got a hint of like a little bit of a medicine-y hint to it, but not in a bad way, like in the medicine we got when we were kids.
Yes, I can agree with that. So to me, there's a fruit up front, and it smells a little sour, like a little tart with that fruit. And I don't know if it's like the beer's actually tart or it's just the fruit giving that. And then there's a chocolate that comes in right after it. So it's kind of like a chocolate covered whatever the fruit is, which I'm still trying to figure out. Raspberry. I mean, it kind of smells like naked fish
I'm not getting fruit, but there's the stuffiness.
It actually kind of smells like naked fish from Duclaw, which was a chocolate raspberry stout.
Yes.
It smells like that. Like raspberry, you know, milk chocolate and a little coffee note.
Like
the
single fish.
Yes.
Because the double was a lot more raspberry up front.
Yeah. Yeah, there was naked fish and then double naked fish. And then there was a barrel-aged naked fish, which we have in the basement one of still.
It's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
It was a good beer.
Yeah, that's what it smells like. Like, it's a stout. It's a nice chocolatey stout with a little coffee on the end with a fruit thrown into it. Okay. I mean, it smells good. That's interesting. Or is it one of those, like, it reminds me of, like, RER Brewing. They do, like the 10-layer. It's, like, a stout.
Okay.
And they did a 10-layer that had, like, fruit added to it. I think it was, like, a raspberry 10-layer or something like that. So, reminds me of maybe something like that on the nose. But let's try it. Yeah, it seems a little tart. Slightly.
Yeah, right there.
It's weird. I don't hate it. It's like a beer version of like chocolate strawberry Nesquik. Or, you know, does that sound bad? That sounds bad.
It sounds odd. It's almost like a cordial, but it's not as biting.
Yeah, I could agree with that. I like that. Yeah, it is more, the fruit is more raspberry though. Like I was saying on the nose, it is like a raspberry type flavor. And then you get to that chocolate on the end. And for a split second, it tastes like milk chocolate. And then I feel like it transitions to more like a dark chocolate because the bitterness kicks in. So, and then there's that little bit of like roasty coffee on the finish too.
The very, very, very end it's got a lingering little chocolate chalkiness to it.
Yeah.
I like that. If you're going to leave me with something, leave me with that.
Yeah. And in the middle of each sip, there is a slight ashiness.
Yep.
Which isn't bad because it's very fleeting. So I'm good with it. It's kind of in between the transition of the fruit to the chocolate.
Now, I would say on your earlier naked fish speculation, the first thing that would tell me no about that right away is fish always left a nice tan lacing. Yeah, it lingered a little more.
Yeah. I don't love this beer, but I like this beer.
This would be a nice dessert beer if you're only having one.
That's a good point.
Yeah. But it's a little sweet for my personal taste.
I like it. Actually, now it's tasting a little cherry-ish as well.
Maybe because it's warming?
Yeah, possibly.
Your flavors will get a little...
Yeah. Go through changes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I'm going to have to think about what I'm going to rate that one. That one's interesting. I like it, though. At its base, with the ashiness and everything, it reminds me of a beer I just recently had, which was Union Brewing's Michelle's Granola Porter. But it doesn't have that fruitiness to it.
What a great name.
Well, it's done with a granola, Michelle's granola, which is an amazing granola. I know it's kind of dumb to hear, but I love granola, and that granola is
I love granola, so good. Too, and I haven't had it in forever.
Ugh, it's unbelievable. All right, let's take a look at Beer B. This looks lighter, like a little more thin, like maybe a porter, maybe a straight stout, not imperial, maybe just a serious brown ale. I don't know. I can see through it a little bit.
Yeah, there's some amber highlights to it.
This one doesn't have a whole lot of carbonation either, though, when I swirl it up. Get a little bit, more than the first one, but...
It's lingering a little.
That's a very particular nose.
I like it.
It smells boozy.
Yeah, that's why I like it.
It definitely smells boozy. It's just like that little bit of like acetone, but not in a terrible way because there are other aromas mixing with it, but it just kind of gets a little astringent at some point that comes off acetone.
I would almost say barrel aged, but I'm not getting any wood.
So she's a... It does seem spirit driven, most likely. And I think a lot of that's coming from the perception of the alcohol, because it's definitely smelling alcohol-ish.
Yeah.
It's chocolatey, but it's more on the dark chocolate side. There's something else. It's like there's a slight black licorice in there.
There needs to be a new Arkham game.
I love those games.
They used to release the Arkham games when Duclaw would release Retribution. And I'd take a week's vacation, because I'd be immediately following Oktoberfest.
It's a good way to go.
And I'd take a couple bottles of Retribution home and play Batman all week.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Drink Retribution like a fiend.
That's
this
a great
would be
week.
A good video game.
Yeah, this smells good.
Beer.
Good slash.
Yeah, I really like it. There's another flavor in there that I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
It's interesting, though, and it's attractive. It's a very attractive flavor.
All right, I got to taste it now because I pulled as much out of the aroma as I can. And like you said, there's something else in there. And I feel like I'm going to have to taste it.
It's really good.
Ooh.
It's really good.
This is definitely spirit barrel aged. Definitely. I get that flavor throughout. There's that little hit of astringency from the barrel.
Mm. Whatever it is, though, it's overriding any... common notes of like charred wood or anything. Like there's no, I'm not getting any of that.
It's like kind of creamy. It's got a creamy mouthfeel.
Yeah. I love the mouthfeel. I love the aroma. I love everything about this beer. This is going to be the thing that breaks the cocktail streak for a while. And I'm going to end up getting some of this.
I get a slight vanilla, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I'm really digging that vanilla perception in it. It's milk chocolatey too.
It reminds me kind of, like if you cross, if you blended, say, a Scotch ale and a really big stout. That's kind of what it's reminding me of.
But it's body-wise, it's weird because body-wise, it's thinner than what you would expect someone would go with
and
for
it's
a
slippery.
Barrel age. Yeah.
It's slippery, too.
Just goes right down. There's a lot of barrel character on there. Is it bourbon? Doesn't quite seem like bourbon, though.
That's the thing. That's why I'm struggling with... There's definite alcohol, but it's... I can't put my finger on what it is.
I mean, the vanilla would make sense with, like, a bourbon character, because you can get that from the bourbon barrel, but I don't know, it's good, but it's a little confusing to me when I'm trying to pinpoint what it is. I'll just need to know definitively what is this
beer. I'm going to ruin the curve when I score this thing, I got to tell you. This thing is phenomenal.
Ooh. A is now way more fruity and more ashy on the finish after the second beer. But still good. That fruit pops like crazy now.
Yeah, it does.
Like crazy. And yeah, raspberry, in my opinion.
Definitely raspberry.
Yeah. Ooh, okay, so this is a toughie. I'm going to give beer a 4. I like it. I'm going to give beer B. That's good. 5. Yeah. It's kind of like my ratings last episode. 4 for A and 5 for B.
Yeah, I'm going to have to give A... I'll give A a 5.
Sure. Overall, 4.5 for A then. Not bad.
And I hate to be this guy, but I gotta give beer B a 9.
Okay.
Like, I would... There's a good chance I'm going to stop and pick some of this up on my way home today.
Okay.
Once I see what it is. It's amazing. It is a really good beer.
7.5, I guess, overall. My math is not good. 7.5 for that one. So it's done well.
I love everything about it.
Sorry, it's a 7, right?
Aroma, mouthfeel.
Yeah, no, it's a 7 overall. Sorry. 7 overall for that one. So a clear winner, one of the highest rated beers we've had on for a while. Not many beers get that high, so well done. Let's go ahead and reveal these suckers. So A, the loser of the episode, but still good rating and good beer. 4.5, it is To Die For Raspberry Chocolate Stout. Nailed it. By Two Roads Brewing. And it looks like it's for Valentine's Day. It's got a heart with an arrow through it and raspberry and chocolate.
Or an Ink Master watching party.
Oh, yeah. It does look like kind of tattoo-like. 7% alcohol. And Two Roads is out of Stratford, Connecticut. That's right. This is good. That's good.
Very good.
Very nice. Now let's find out what Tony's going to be buying. With an overall of 7 doing very well is... It's Boulevard Brewing, okay? It's a limited release beer. This is why it was hard for us to figure out what this is. It's called Plaid Habit. It's a Canadian whiskey barrel-aged imperial brown ale.
It's the brown ale part that made it weird.
Yes.
Gotcha.
12.5%.
Yeah.
That's danger.
Yeah. I want to snuggle it.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, we could tell it had a higher ABV to it, and I think a lot of that is... The brown ale base. It doesn't hide alcohol very well
because
it's thinner. So, I'm not sure I would have picked this up if I saw it.
I definitely wouldn't have, but yeah.
Yeah, it's good. So, weird but good. But that's what this podcast is for. Stuff I wouldn't necessarily try, so I try it blind and I'm like, sweet, good. Cool. So,
I love you, Plaid Habit.
How did you feel on your second go around?
Great. The beers are definitely more up my alley for what I like to drink. I wish I wasn't all congested because I have a feeling both of them smell even better than what I was actually getting.
Right on. Cool, man. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me, sir.
And you are welcome to come back when you would like to come back.
This is fun. I want to come back.
Good.
I want to come back. I'll make... some sort of odd short film or something. Or maybe I'll brew a beer.
Or you can just start drinking beer again.
That's probably what's going to actually happen.
There you go.
And
that's what I shoot for when guests come on, that they just say, hey, I had fun. That's all I care about. Did we have fun? Because otherwise it's not worth doing.
Absolutely.
So cool. Thanks everyone for listening to this. Who knows what episode we're putting out next, because I have so many different formats, but we'll figure it out. Big thanks to Tony, and until next time, keep it brutal.